The time has now arrived for the baptism discourse. We invite all baptism candidates who have not already done so to come to the seats reserved directly in front of the stage. We know that the candidates, along with their families and friends, are filled with joy and excitement. The day of one's baptism is an important and serious one. Those who dedicate their lives to Jehovah make a promise that must be kept forever. What can strengthen you, baptism candidates, and all of us to fulfill our dedication vow despite whatever challenges we face in the future? Let us give our close attention to Brother Stephen Merrifield, who serves as a substitute circuit overseer from the Wetaskiwin congregation, as he presents the talk, Never Abandon Your Loyal Love for Jehovah.
Well, it's a beautiful thing to see you baptismal candidates sitting before us today. And why are you here? Well, you've made a personal dedication, a promise to loyally serve Jehovah. But when it comes to promises, have you ever heard the expression, promises are made to be broken? And isn't it true that that's how many people view their promises? They might make a promise without ever intending to keep it. Or other people make rash pledges, and then they just can't live up to it. Others, maybe they make a promise, but it turns out to be difficult to uphold it. So instead, they take the easy way out. But as loyal servants of Jehovah, do we view promises as different? Let's look at the expressions of one faithful servant of Jehovah, King David. We've discussed him several times this morning already, but if you go to Psalm 61, and notice in verse 8 what he expresses. Now, it's interesting that this entire psalm is actually a prayer that David is uttering. So notice in verse 8 what he includes in his prayer. He says, Then I will sing praises to your name forever, as I pay my vows day after day. So did you notice here that David, he expressed a conviction to Jehovah that he wanted to pay his vows or uphold the promises he had made. So likewise, you baptismal candidates, do you view your promise as the same? In fact, when you made a personal dedication to Jehovah, you made the most important promise of your life. And you'll be symbolizing that today by means of water baptism. And what moved you to make this dedication? Was it not your loyal love for Jehovah? So it's that same loyal love that's going to motivate you to continue to uphold your dedication. But what can help us with that? Well, the scriptures are full of many examples of others who have been determined to uphold their promises despite various situations they faced. So that's what we're going to do for a few minutes, is look at a few examples in the scriptures and see how they will help you to never abandon your loyal love for Jehovah. So first of all, we can think about David again. So we just read about how he made his convictions, his promises, a matter of prayer. So let's look at one particular promise that David made. If we go to 1 Samuel, so 1 Samuel chapter 20. Now here, we gain insight into a private conversation that David has with his close companion Jonathan. And now we know Jonathan was the son of King Saul, but King Saul, he grew to hate David, didn't he? In fact, he wanted to kill him. So in chapter 20, we find David and Jonathan, they meet together, and Jonathan promises David that he'll keep him up to speed on what Saul's plans are so David can escape. Now, if you look in verse 15, notice what Jonathan asks David in return. So in chapter 20, verse 15, he says, "Never withdraw your loyal love from my household. Even when Jehovah wipes out all the enemies of David from the face of the earth." So you notice what Jonathan was asking David? To continue to show love to his household or his family. At this moment, David needed Jonathan's help. He was very aware of that. But Jonathan was asking, even after Jehovah wipes out your enemies, please continue to show your love for my family. Now notice in verse 17, it says, "So Jonathan had David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved himself." So David agrees to this. He makes this covenant. And what was it based on? Well, again, we see it was based on love, his love for Jonathan. And, of course, David's love for Jehovah, because he knew he also needed Jehovah's help. So would David uphold this promise? Now, remember, this was a private conversation between him and Jonathan. So now let's fast forward several years, many years, in fact. If we go to 2 Samuel chapter 9. So now, King Saul is dead. So that threat's gone. David's firmly established his kingship. And also Jonathan is dead. So would David just push this promise aside and think, you know what, I don't really need to worry about it. I'm sitting good now. I'm just going to forget about it. Well, notice in chapter 9 and verse 1. David then said, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I may show loyal love for the sake of Jonathan?" So you notice it's David himself who calls this promise to mind, and he asks, "Is there anyone that I can uphold this promise towards?" So it's pointed out to David that Jonathan has a son left over named Mephibosheth. Now remember, Mephibosheth, he had a difficult childhood. He was crippled in both feet. So he maybe didn't have a lot to offer. Maybe others just kind of shoved him aside, didn't think about him. But David, when he finds out about this, he calls Mephibosheth to him. And if you just go to verse 7, notice what he says. David said to him, "Do not be afraid, for I will certainly show loyal love to you for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will return to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you will always dine at my table." What a beautiful example. Again, we see David's determined to uphold his promise. And you notice why? He says he wants to show loyal love for the sake of his father Jonathan. So he offers to give him the land that he was rightful to from Saul, and also to dine at the royal table. What a privilege that was. So what do we learn? What do you baptismal candidates learn from David's upholding his promise? Well, even though things were going well for him, he didn't forget about it. He didn't forget about his loyalty. So what about you? Well, today, are you keenly aware of your need for Jehovah's help? No doubt you're thinking, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Jehovah. And that's why you've dedicated your life to him. But now let's fast forward several years in your life. Maybe things are going very well for you. Maybe you're even comfortable materially. Could there be a danger of starting to depend on ourselves and maybe push aside our dedication a little bit? Well, if you imitate David, you'll never allow physical comforts to cause you to forget Jehovah. But like David, remain loyal to your promise and give Jehovah exclusive devotion forever. But let's look at the flip side now. What if things don't go as expected in your life? Well, we can think about the example of Jephthah. If you'd like to turn with me to Judges chapter 11. So in Judges 11, and starting in verse 30, we see that Jephthah, he's facing the threat of the Ammonite army. So again, he knows he needs Jehovah's help. So in verse 30 and 31, he makes a vow, a promise to Jehovah. He says, "If you grant me victory, the first person that comes out of my door when I come home will be devoted to divine service for the rest of their lives." So what happened? Well, notice in verse 34 and 35. Finally, Jephthah came to his home in Mizpah, and look, his daughter was coming out to meet him, playing the tambourine and dancing. Now she was his one and only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. When he saw her, he ripped his garments and said, "Oh no, my daughter, you have broken my heart, for you have become the one I have banished. Now I have opened my mouth to Jehovah, and I am unable to turn back." So do you think Jephthah expected this turn of events? That it would be his daughter that came out first? And it wasn't just his daughter. You notice in verse 34, it says, "Now she was his one and only child." So let's just think for a minute about the implications of that. If she was going to be devoted to divine service at the temple sanctuary, that would mean that, for one thing, he wouldn't be able to see his only daughter. That may be periodically, but not often. But also, she wouldn't be getting married. She wouldn't be bearing children. So there would be no one to carry on the family name. This was the end of the family line of Jephthah. There would be no one to carry on his inheritance in Israel. So was this a big deal? You notice how this affected Jephthah? Verse 35, he says, "You have broken my heart." So did he reason, you know what, Jehovah, I didn't see this one coming. I know I made this promise to you, but this is just too much. You'll understand. I can't go through with this. What did he say at the end of verse 35? "Now I have opened my mouth to Jehovah, and I am unable to turn back." So even though he faced a heartbreaking turn of events, Jephthah was determined to uphold his promise to Jehovah. So again, how can you imitate Jephthah's loyalty to his promise? Well, as a dedicated Christian, your life might take some sudden, unexpected turns. You might face some heart-rending situations. But remember, your dedication to Jehovah, it's not conditional. You've promised to serve him no matter what. So if you imitate Jephthah, then you'll remain loyal to your promise and be determined to serve Jehovah come what may. And Jehovah will bless you for that greatly. So let's think about now for a minute the greatest promise keeper. Who's that? Well, of course, it's our wonderful God, Jehovah. Numbers 23 and verse 19 tells us that God is not a mere man who tells lies or changes his mind. So we're going to just briefly consider two more examples, but this time two examples of Jehovah's promises and how he's carried those out, and how, again, you baptismal candidates can imitate him. So first of all, if you'd like to turn with me to Genesis 15 and verse 18. So Genesis 15 and verse 18, we see that Jehovah here is talking to Abram, or Abraham. Notice the covenant he makes. It says, "On that day Jehovah made with Abram a covenant, saying, 'To your offspring I will give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates.'" So we see here that Jehovah sets out some specific boundaries of an area, the land of Canaan, that he would give to Abram. Notice he says, "To your offspring I will give this." So who did Abraham's offspring end up being? Was it not the nation of Israel? So when Jehovah freed them from Egypt, and he was leading them to this promised land, were they easy to deal with? Or did they disappoint Jehovah over and over again? In fact, if you turn with me to Deuteronomy, we see here that they're on the cusp of entering this promised land. In Deuteronomy 9, Moses is reminding them of the way that they had acted. So if you notice in Deuteronomy 9 and verse 7, Here Moses tells them, remember, never forget the way you provoked Jehovah your God in the wilderness. From the day that you left the land of Egypt until you're coming to this place, you have rebelled against Jehovah. So how do you think Jehovah felt? Did he think, you know what? These people, they just keep letting me down over and over again. They're so hard to deal with. They don't deserve this. Well, in Judges 21, verses 43 through 45, it tells us that Jehovah gave Israel all the land that he had sworn to their forefathers. So what do we learn? Well, God didn't allow the foolish actions of some to cause him to abandon his loyal love for Abraham. Remember, he made the promise to Abraham, and that's what he wanted to carry out. So again, you candidates, will you imitate Jehovah's loyalty to his promise? It's important to remember that today you're becoming part of an organization of imperfect ordained ministers. So does that mean that your brothers and sisters from time to time will disappoint you? Will they offend you sometimes? As we read in Deuteronomy 9:7, will they provoke you sometimes? So what should you do in that case? Would that be a reason to give up our dedication to Jehovah? Well, Colossians 3:13, it tells us that even if we have a cause for complaint against one another, what do we do? Forgive one another freely. So when you become offended, if you have a difference with a brother or sister, act quickly to resolve this. Be ready to forgive freely. Don't allow the action of any human to affect your loyal love for Jehovah and your promise to do his will. And what does his will include? Well, that would include participating in all forms of the ministry, participating in and attending the meetings, having a good routine of personal Bible study and Bible reading. So really, if we were to give those things up because of the offense that someone else has made against us, does that make sense? It would be like if someone upset us or offended us, going home and saying, you know what, I'm not going to eat any more meals. That's it. Who are you hurting? It's not affecting them at all. So it's the same. If we give up our spiritual routine, we're only hurting ourselves. We're only hurting our relationship with Jehovah. So allow your loyal love to motivate you to be quick, be determined to stick to your spiritual routine even when someone upsets or disappoints you. And when you make mistakes, be quick to apologize and keep giving evidence of your deep attachment to Jehovah. Now, a second promise we can think about that Jehovah's made is in Genesis 3, verse 15. What did he promise there? He promised to bring an end to the rebellion that began in the Garden of Eden. He promised to crush Satan's head. Now, was that a long time ago? We know that promise hasn't been fully fulfilled yet. That was some 6,000 years ago. Has a lot changed since then? Generations have come and gone. The world has undergone dramatic changes. But through your study in the scriptures, we've seen that Jehovah doesn't change. That he hasn't allowed the passage of time to weaken his resolve to bring this promise to a full fulfillment. So, will you imitate Jehovah's loyalty to his promise? Again, through your study in the scriptures, you've become convinced that we're living in the last days, just before Jehovah brings an end to this wicked system of things. But what if this time hasn't come as soon as we expected, or maybe as soon as we hoped? Should that affect our dedication to Jehovah? Well, let's go to a scripture in Micah 7 and verse 7. And notice what's involved here. So Micah chapter 7, And notice what the prophet Micah expresses here. In verse 7, he says, "But as for me, I will keep on the lookout for Jehovah. I will show a waiting attitude for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." So what was the prophet Micah convinced to do? You notice he says, "I will show a waiting attitude for the God of my salvation." Or the footnote says, "Or I will wait patiently." So does our attitude make a difference? You can think about someone who's maybe working secularly, and they make it very clear, you know what, I'm just in it for the paycheck. I don't really care about the work. I don't really care about the boss. I just want the paycheck at the end. Compared to someone who has a good relationship with the boss, they're dedicated to them. They fully believe in what the company is about. Now, they both get a paycheck in the end, but who do you think is more likely to stick with the company if things don't go as expected? Who do you think time passes more slowly for? Someone who's just kind of trying to kill time, doing menial or just the bare minimum, or someone who keeps busy because they're dedicated to the work? So you baptismal candidates, we're all looking forward to the new world. But remember, you're dedicated to Jehovah, not the new world. It's a benefit that we look forward to, but we're not in it just for the paycheck. We're dedicated to Jehovah, our loving God. So today we know that you are resolved to live up to that dedication. Don't change in that respect, but keep your promise to Jehovah. So now we'll just take a few minutes to speak with two sisters in our region who have shown this loyalty in their dedication to Jehovah, despite challenges that they've personally faced. So take note of how they have surmounted these challenges and relied on Jehovah. So first of all, we're going to speak with Sister Gemma Darcy from the Pinoka congregation. Now, Gemma, you've been dedicated and baptized for about 4 years now, but what major obstacle have you faced in maintaining loyalty to your promise?
Well, my father was controlling and abusive, and he became strongly opposed to my serving Jehovah, sometimes to the point of even trying to prevent us from going to meetings by taking the tires off of the car.
Wow, that's a huge challenge. How did that make you feel?
Well, sometimes the pressure that my dad put on me to put loyalty to him ahead of loyalty to Jehovah made me feel like giving up.
That's understandable. But are there any examples in the Bible that has helped you?
Yes, King Hezekiah is a very good example. I found his situation relatable. His father was supposed to be a representative of Jehovah, but instead led the nation into spiritual chaos. However, instead of becoming discouraged or bitter, Hezekiah stuck close to Jehovah and made serving him the priority in his life, and that encouraged me to do the same.
Oh, that's wonderful. What blessings have you experienced because of that?
Well, the experience taught me to rely on Jehovah, and that's drawn me closer to him and helped me to develop a close personal relationship with him, and that's been the greatest blessing of all.
Oh, thank you very much. Very great example, Sister Darcy. So now we're going to speak with Sister Merle Blosser from the Millhurst congregation. Now, Sister Blosser, how long have you been baptized?
60 years.
Wow. And you've been pioneering for 51 of those years. So a long record of loyalty. Now, again, it hasn't been without its challenges. Your husband didn't join you in serving Jehovah. So how did that prove to be a challenge?
Well, at first he opposed me, and he definitely did not want me going house to house. Actually tried to stop me. But I explained to him that I had promised to serve and obey Jehovah and that I would be staying loyal to that promise.
Wonderful. Now also, for a time, your family moved up to Alaska, to a very isolated area, no other congregations around, no contact with other witnesses. How did you maintain loyalty to your worship in that scenario?
Well, as we were isolated, there was only the three of us there for a while, but we held our own meetings. And we went in field service and kept up with our spiritual routine. And we reported our time to the Alaskan branch and our meeting attendance as well. And we did this because we wanted to stay loyal to Jehovah, and I didn't want my kids to lose out. They were only 8 and 10 at the time.
Wow. Now, was there any Bible examples that helped you throughout all this?
Yes, Abigail, because she lived in a very difficult family situation. But it encouraged me because she was always very loyal. She also stayed respectful of her husband while she was loyal to Jehovah.
Well, thank you so much, sisters, both of you, for your wonderful examples. So we've been focusing so far on how we can stay loyal to our dedication in this present time. But what about the future? Remember, your dedication carries on into the new world. You've again promised to keep doing Jehovah's will forever. So we want to remember that Jehovah's will is often revealed progressively. So what might that include in the promised new world? Well, we know that we'll be learning how to take care of the earth and its creatures. We'll be working hard building houses so no one's homeless again. We'll also be involved in a teaching work, teaching the resurrected ones. So there'll be a lot of work to do as dedicated servants. But doing God's will may also include some things not yet revealed. So we want to think about that and think, what if I'm asked to do something that I'm not expecting to do? Well, remember, again, your dedication is to Jehovah. We're willing to do whatever we're asked. So can you see yourself there? Can you see yourself living up to your dedication in the promised new world? And we know that Jehovah will bring this about because he's righteous. And also because of how he views his faithful servants that he's made this promise to. Let's go to one last scripture in Psalm 89, verse 33. And here we can think about King David again. Because Jehovah made a covenant with King David that his throne would last forever. We know that this is fulfilled in Jesus taking rulership over the kingdom. But notice in Psalm 89 and verse 33, in relation to his faithful servant, what Jehovah expresses. He says, "But I will never abandon my loyal love for him, nor be untrue to my promise." So these are words spoken to David, but by extension, they're spoken to you baptismal candidates today. Notice Jehovah says he will never abandon his loyal love for you. So loyal love has brought you to this important step of baptism today. And may your loyal love move you to keep that solemn promise. Friends, may you never abandon your loyal love for Jehovah. So now has come the time to ask our baptismal candidates to stand, please. And we're going to ask you two questions. So how do we feel, brothers and sisters? So we'll ask you these questions, and then I'll indicate to you when it's your turn to answer. And if you could please answer in a loud, clear voice so we can all hear. So first of all, on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, have you repented of your sins and dedicated yourself to Jehovah to do his will? Your answer, please. And do you understand that your dedication in baptism identify you as one of Jehovah's Witnesses in association with God's Spirit-directed organization? Your answer, please. Well, your clear, affirmative answers to these questions indicate that you are qualified for baptism as ordained ministers of Jehovah God. So at this point, it would be appropriate for us to approach our God Jehovah about this occasion. Jehovah, our loving Father, may we please humbly come before your lofty throne this morning, and we wish to express our deep gratitude for being able to know you. And we thank you so much for your loyalty that you've shown to us. We've considered so many examples of this in the scriptures, and we love you so much for this support that you've shown, and for knowing that you will fulfill all your promises that you have set out in your word. And Jehovah, we know that your heart is warmed as you look upon our baptismal candidates today, that you love them very much, and you appreciate the loyalty they've shown you so far, and also that you appreciate the loyalty that they will show to you by dedicating their life to do your will. But we know that a life serving you isn't without its challenges. And so, Jehovah, if we could ask, please, for your Holy Spirit to be with these baptismal candidates, that they can face the different challenges they may have in the future. But we know that you'll bless their efforts so much by helping them to remain loyal to service to you. So now we want to all contemplate our personal dedication, how we can continue to be fortified and to live up to this. And we thank you so much for this beautiful program that has helped us to do that. So, Jehovah, we realize that we are imperfect. We ask for your forgiveness for our sins. And we look forward to the time when we'll be able to have a perfect relationship with you in the future. We offer this prayer now through your Son and our King and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen.